I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, and find this in your Bible. Literally, find this in your Bible. We do have sermon notes this morning. If you need some, I'm going to ask Jeff if he wouldn't mind. We have kids' sermon notes as well, children's sermon notes, as well as anybody who doesn't want a kid's sermon note. But there's a QR code for that as well. But you can take those notes and follow along. But it really launching out of this verse. This verse we're about to read, it's 1 Corinthians 12:27. And again, I want you to find it in your Bible. I want you to find it in your own Bible. I want you to earmark it, highlight it, figure out how to get on to it. Because honestly, this is a verse that we're going to just kind of look at pretty much all year. Are you saying, Billy, that what we're going to do is preach a sermon out of 1 Corinthians 12:27 every week for the next 35 or so weeks? Well, yes and no. I mean, not yes, we are, because it is the launching pad for everything. But obviously, we're going to do a lot of other parts in this. But it's a very simple verse, and it's one that I'm going to have you memorize throughout the year. And it's based a lot upon the song that this wonderful team of people just sang for us, Cornerstone. And the verse goes like this. Read it with me out loud. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's read it out loud one more time. Now obviously I put it on the screen, and you may say, well, why did you have me look it up in my Bible to go to the trouble when it's also on the screen? I want you to know where this is at. Let's read it again. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. When you come into a church service, this one or anywhere else, sometimes we have a little practice. We didn't necessarily do it quite the same way this morning, but we have this little practice that says, greet one another. Well, I hope you did greet one another when you walked in. When you greet someone, it, of course, is intended to have a little friendly flair to it. But much more than that, you're literally greeting the people who are in the body of Christ. It's a very heavy subject, which is why there's not even a chance in 30 or so weeks that you can fully address this. But it might be that we could lay a real serious, put a serious dent in your and my and our understanding of that. Now, you may be saying, Billy, this is Labor Day weekend. Can you just lay off the heavy stuff? It is Labor Day. This is the transitional weekend, right? How many children, there's some kids here in the room, how many kids have already started school? Raise your hand if you've already gone to class, all right? Very good. How many of you wish you could go home and not go back to class? Anybody? I know, no. There's some, yes, okay. Your father is a principal, so I'm not sure how to measure that out in the middle of all that, but you have your opinion. And it doesn't count for anything for that, but at least you have it. Obviously, Labor Day weekend transitions. Maybe you were like me yesterday. I did a lot of yard work and stuff yesterday, but in between, I snuck my eyes on the TV set because guess what started yesterday? College football! It was pretty awesome. And didn't those Huskies do great? Those Cougars, weren't they amazing? They both lost. So anyway, my team won. That's all that matters. But it is a transitional weekend, obviously a holiday, and I hope you treat it as such. I know a lot of families in our church are kind of enjoying the last throes of holiday kinds of things. But with this weekend becomes a shift, not only just in the calendar of our everyday lives, but it becomes a real shift in an understanding of what we're going to be teaching throughout the year. In some ways, we're calling next Sunday the launch of our new year, but I'm giving you the prelude to the launch for next weekend with 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We are standing in what is traditionally known as a church, right? We have a building. It has 2x4s. It's a gigantic beams. I was here when we built this building, so I physically, all the things that are wrong in this building, I probably participated in. But it has, I was going to say brick. There's really not a lot of brick in this place. There's a lot of concrete. I was here when we poured the concrete. I was here when we built the walls. We put these big beams up. We put those, you know, all the pieces. I put the roofing on. I was part of the team to put the roofing on. So we all think of a church, right, that has a parking lot, a front door. We have two big side doors, and the weather's beautiful. So we open those up, and we meet in a room we call a sanctuary or an auditorium or whatever terminology you want to use in all that. But all of us come with some kind of an understanding of what a church is. We have a sign. We have a name. Now, which slightly confuses me a little bit, because the name of your church really should be, you know, Jesus' church. But we call it Lifeway. We all understand why. We have our own little flair. We have our own little location. We have our own little things that we do a little bit differently along the way. But it's not about the building. It's not about the name. We have a structure. We have an organization. We have some pieces along the way. We have a history in this church, and it's a nice history. I could write the history of it. But in the middle of all that, it's not really even about those pieces, even though those pieces are very important. Is do we really understand what a church is? We are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. In a church like ours, you saw the interview, and I'm going to refer back to that in a minute, that when Marta and Jenny and Savina spoke about these ministries, we're making plans. That's what churches do. Diane Holm just the other day bought us a calendar that's going to sit in the office, and it's going to be a big calendar, and here's what we're going to do in this month. And we have these events that we do. And of course, as a church, we have scheduled of events and things like that, but we also, and we make those plans, and those are real, but we also, let's go back to refer to the sermon a couple, two, 3 weeks ago in Proverbs 27, verse 1, that says, you know, be careful what you plan, because your plans will change. Boy, have we ever learned that one. But we're still a church. And what does that really mean? With all the plans that we make and all the structure that we put together, all the leadership things that we do, all the things that we try to put in place, all the buildings we try to build, all of those things are useless. All of those things are useless unless you come to fully understand the truth of the statement found in 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ. So today on this holiday message weekend, as we transition out of summer and into the fall and what we are termed the academic year, it's an academic year not just for school, but in our case, it's really going to be the academic year that's going to be labeled with a certain piece. We're making this transition today to give you a glimpse of where we are and where we're going. We, about three years ago, wrote up a little statement that tries to reflect this, and I want to look at it again, and it's the mission of Lifeway Church. It's in your notes, but I want you to look at this. It says, we have a mission at church, and this is kind of a, you know, just a statement, right? Now, again, it's intended to be absolutely reflect the biblical version of everything we just read. But here's what this statement says. The mission of Lifeway Church. At Lifeway Church, we exist. This is the frame that we should have on the wall. I think I have it on the wall. If I don't, I have it in your notes. At Lifeway Church, we exist to help real people find real life in Jesus Christ through real relationships with His Word and with His people. It's a nice statement, and it encompasses what it is that we're trying to do to say, this is the body of Christ. And each one of us is members of it. So I'll say it again. We exist. We are here. We have this property, this building, this schedule, this plan, this preschool ministry, this children's ministry, this youth ministry, this worship team. We exist. This missions team, this project in this part of the world and that part of the world. We exist to help real people find real life, which really is the only life, through Jesus, in Jesus Christ, through real relationships. With what kind of relationships? With His Word and His people. All ages, all backgrounds, no matter where you're from, no matter what language was your first language or your second language, no matter, you know, what part of the country or what part of the world you grew up in, no matter how deeply you understand Scripture, no matter the commonality or lack of commonality of all of the background kinds of things that come into your life, but beginning at this location, in this space, in this time, this is why we exist, and we carry that work to extend it as far as God has called us to move it. So, again, kind of introductory. Bear with me. Do you remember last year, in the academic year, if you were around at Lifeway, and many of you were, some of you were not, but we built into this system kind of a five-year sort of a plan. There's nothing magical about it, but the intent is to help us all grasp what we are doing and why we are here and where we're trying to go, and how do you really grasp this. Year one, we called it the Book of Jesus. We started in September of last year, and we had a verse of Scripture, much like I just introduced to you 1 Corinthians 12 a while ago. We had one in Colossians 1:15. Do you remember that verse? What is it? Christ is the visible image of the... And what we did, and I'm going to bring a portion of this little wall back over the next few weeks to make sure, remind us of it, we built a wall. And it was built on all the pieces from Genesis to parts of the Old Testament, certainly leading into the gospel stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we concentrated in this case in the book of John. But in that series of messages, what we said was the Bible story is about Jesus, all the way going back to the literal creation story itself. It's about Jesus. We inserted himself into the failures of mankind when God said, I'm going to create this plan, and we built this wall of understanding theologically so that it after a while makes sense. And that's where the gospel stories, the life of Jesus was built on that wall. So if you, I gave you a test at the end of the whole year in May. Some of you took it. Some of you passed. No, actually, we didn't create that kind of a thing. But the whole intent was to make sure you understand that you can't really understand all of these things unless you understand these core things about Christ and who He is. The very reason that I had us sing that song, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong. Everything is built on an understanding and a foundation of Jesus. And we worked our way through that. You guys, I'm 64 years old. I've been in the church all of my life. I became a believer as a young boy. I felt a calling to ministry as a very young man, but in all of that, I want you to know I've never encountered anything quite like I have in this past year. And you may think, well, isn't that preacher oversimplification stuff that you always tend to do? Greatest thing I ever heard, right? But in all seriousness, I am just dead level set on making sure that we really grasp some of these things. So year two is going to be stacked and built on year one. And if you missed year one, you can go back and listen to those messages. But at the same time, we're going to remind ourselves over and over. I'm not going to preach them all again, but we're going to stack this truth of year two. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's going to be totally and completely stacked upon absolutely the bedrock of year one. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And we are His church. All right? So, obviously, this last year we took a summer break. Our teaching plan is normally based upon the fact that during the academic year, we're going to teach some core theological things throughout the year. We're going to take a summer break, not in teaching, but we're going to kind of, I call it counseling preaching. What does God's Word say about different kinds of things? That's why we did so much out of the book of Proverbs. But now, starting, and then, of course, let me say this too. The obvious is, we had adjustments all year long in schedules, of course. Oh, my goodness. My head still spins thinking about, you know, what it was like last September. Do you remember the fires? This one year ago this weekend, we said, okay, we can't meet in the room. We're going to meet outside. Guess what happened Labor Day weekend last year? Forest fires. The whole place is full of smoke. And they said, go back inside. Don't go outside. Don't breathe the air. You know, you had to mask up for a whole different reason. And it was nuts. And I was just going, how many more things can happen? Well, I'm here to just say to you, I can't predict what this year is going to be. I thought we did a pretty noble job and continue to do a pretty noble job of continuing on in these kinds of things and making adjustments based upon what, you know, what you can, should, whatever do. We have created an environment of certainly, and especially in the area of teaching, and even in participation, that frankly you can participate at any at different levels in this church almost without excuse. But now we start into year two. Year two is all about this verse, 1 Corinthians 12:27. And what are we going to be doing this entire year? We're going to be building His church. Not the brick and mortar. We already did that. Who knows, down the road may have to add on to it, but that's the irrelevant. We're going to be really building His church this whole year. And I want to try to pour ourselves through this process so that at the end of that, you'll understand that there are four walls in a church. Put that visual already in your mind. There are four walls and there's a roof and there's a cross on the top. And all of those have significant meaning, not just for the visual part of it all, but a deeply seated theological reason. And they all come out of that verse, 1 Corinthians 12:27. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. They are all founded on the theological foundation that we built last year. Now you build these walls of the church, and when you're done with this, if you will fully grasp this, it truly will transform your personal life, and it'll totally transform your understanding of why do we do this? Why do we do this? Next Sunday, I'm going to give you a heads up. Next Sunday's message is Matthew 16, verses 18. Well, that several verses, but it's centered around 18 and 19. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Or that key story, upon this rock I'll build my church. And we're going to launch this whole series of things out of that. But we're going to spend this whole academic year talking about who we are as the body. You know, what does that mean to be the body of Christ? What are the implications from that? So what do we do? What are the things that we do when you are the body of Christ? You know, you don't just go to church. We actually do something as His disciples. That's both individually and collectively. And what does this body do in a world? It's so easy to think of a church as just sort of this little isolated little group that sits over in a corner and nobody really cares. Guys, do you realize that the church, now hear me out. This I've said this many times in my life, and it's really true. There's a lot of powerful institutions. There's a lot of powerful businesses. There's a lot of powerful companies. There's a lot of powerful families and people who, you know, push a button. You're elected officials or kings and presidents and all kinds of things who can literally sort of hold the power. Do you understand, though, that the church is the most powerful institution, organization, body in the entire planet? And that we think of it in a pathetic sort of a way. We need to understand what the body is about, what we do, what the body, how does the body work? You know, how is it all put together? How is it organized? We're going to talk about all those things throughout this year. We're going to learn how to deal with the successes and failures as well as the pitfalls of a church. That's our winter study, by the way. The pitfalls and the colliding of kinds of things. But you're also going to hear where we go as a body. Very important. Especially this fall, in the places and things that we do to be obedient to God's calling as His body into this world, where do we go and how do we get there? What I'm really trying to say is that that I just truly believe that most people in this world do have no clue and have no real understanding of what a church is. And we misunderstand all of those issues. And that's why I think sometimes the church just becomes this limping along organization, building, title, name, without really doing anything. I don't want to be a part of anything like that. And neither do you. Because why? Because we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. Highly, again, introductory this morning. This year, you heard Savina and Jenny and Marta give us a little clue on what is next. These are part of the plans, right? So it's, again, a little bit of an advertising here, but I want you to catch the visual here. Now, granted, Marta is moving to Fairbanks and has done such a wonderful job. It's not going to be the last time you ever see her by any means, but the obvious is she says, I'm excited to see this transfer over, and that feels good. We're going to do our best to start preschool ministry and children's ministry. We understand all of the dynamics of, you know, gathering and what you're supposed to do, and we'll try to pay attention to that as much as possible and get that done. But what you're really seeing is an attempt to kind of obviously reboot in-person gathering of children and preschoolers. Now, that may seem like, well, it's about time. It's more than just about time. It really is, I want you to grasp this. It's what we do at every age level. I heard Jenny use this term, rightfully so. She said, I'm developing a core team and this helper team, kind of a rotating helper team. Core team meaning people in this team who say, I think God's called me to that part of the ministry, and I really want to be a part of it, at least for this period of time. And I'll be in the inner workings of that core team. And she called them. Did you catch this? Did you catch what she called them? Anybody? What? She called them core ambassadors. Not volunteers. Not people who are trying to fill a slot. Not people, somebody who says, I don't have anything else to do at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It's ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, we are ambassadors for Christ. You don't volunteer to be a part of God's working of His church. Do you get that? Now, I'll get it. Not everybody is going to serve exactly in this same way as preschool, or in Savina's case, like a child or a children. And in the future days, we're going to talk of youth ministry and worship team and adult ministries and adult other kinds of things, and certainly missions teams as we get into the fall. And you're going to hear all those bits and pieces. But these aren't volunteer spots. That is the most pathetic, volunteering in the life of a church is the most pathetic term I think we could ever use. Now, you may say, well, that's a little overstated, preacher overstatement, but hear me out on this. I get it that if I'm saying, you know what, I will join in and help that thing for this period of time, be it a short period of time or a long period of time, I get it. It's a choice that I make in that way, and so that's where that volunteerism kinds of things. But guys, we are the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? Those of us who have said, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life, and while I'm still here in this crazy world, and I don't use that term crazy world to insult the world, but let's just be real. It is a world lost with no answers. We are the body of Christ still allowed to be in this world for this period of time. We don't go, well, God, I'm just going to hang around and volunteer occasionally for something so that I can look good on my resume when I get to heaven. You are ambassadors. Can you do everything all the time? Of course not. Do you have to make choices? Absolutely. Do you need to kind of think carefully about your own life and schedule? We all do. Absolutely, me and you. But put it this way again. The church is the most powerful institution in the world, bar none. You think governments have an answer? You think presidents, kings, queens have an answer? Really? They have answers. But do they have the answer? Do you think tribal groups and cultural ways have the answer? Do you think that a good book that's put out there on a shelf is going to find the answers to all things? And I've actually bought quite a few books lately. I got a lot of reading to do. There is no answer except in Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord over, Lord over all. You sing the song, you quote the verse. We walk out of a church service sometimes and go, yeah, that was a good church service. Yeah, it was fine. But are you really walking out the door being the body of Christ? That's what we're studying this year. That's the walls that we're going to be building. Do we have a plan? Yes. 10 a.m., we're going to continue 10 a.m. services, just like we are. We are have full plans next weekend. During 10 o'clock, there's a family-style service in this room. There's going to be a preschool ministry going on. It's not a preschool class. It's not babysitting. It's a ministry to the youngest of our people, the August types of the world that we just saw displayed, but and others. But we do those kinds of things at 10 o'clock, and at the end of the 10 o'clock, we're going to have some follow-up kinds of things. But let me tell you what we're also doing at 10 o'clock service. You know, it's no secret of why I've even tried to put sermon notes, be it a QR code or printed there. And I just really want you to dig into this. We're trying to come hard with the plan of what to teach. So for example, here's how you get ready for Sunday morning. On about Thursday of every week, you're going to get a newsletter. And in this newsletter, it's called the interview. It's what we call it at Lifeway. And this, if you don't get this, if you're in the room, sign up, grab one of the cards in a minute and say, I need to be on the interview email list. Give me your email. Diane's coordinates that. She's sitting right here. You can sign up for that, turn it in the back of the room or whatever. If you're online right now and you say, get online and say, I want to be on the interview. Here is my email address. It's very easy to connect in that way. But on Thursday every week, you're going to get an interview and it's going to say to you, we have a message coming this week and the focus passage is this. Read ahead by taking a quick look and thinking through this on your own. When you arrive at church, we have a teaching time. You know, I'm doing an introductory today, but we have this teaching time. And on this teaching time, we have notes. Those notes are not just to keep you busy. I'm still very much a note taker. I really want to encourage everybody to be note takers. I mean, just be note takers. I don't know how you do it, but figure out a way to do it, because the stuff that we're trying to hand out is not meant to be just something that's a good message for the day. But you take good notes, you follow up with that, you kind of fill in the blanks and think through this carefully. And then that week, you have an opportunity to do two things. One is on the back side of those notes, there's a little thing called digging deeper. And on the back side of that digging deeper passage is intended to be really this. You find yourself as an adult in a group. If it's a church in the lobby group, they meet right after church. We'll find more. If you're saying, I need to be a part of some and we've got some full, Alvin will figure out a way to create more for you. That's his part. The pressure's on. Or a group that meets on a Tuesday or a Friday or whatever day it is. And you get a chance to not just hear a message, but literally complete the message. The message is not complete until you do the homework afterwards. And guys, this is the plan to do this for children's classes as well. That's why we have those little kids' sermon notes. Is it what we're going to do at the end of every service? We're going to bring our children up here who are ready to go to KidVenture, our classes, and we're going to pray over them and we're going to let them go. And the rest of us in the room are going to finish for a few minutes with a song and a wrap-up. And we're going to pray for the kids who are following up with the same teaching. Why would we teach them any different than the church is the body of Christ? You are the body of Christ, and every one of you is a part of it. And you're going to learn to adjust your mind and your heart and your understanding, and you're going to have a little bit of homework, and you're going to say to me, what is this? I thought this was church. At church, look at us. We sit.
We listen. We leave. And we might come back next week. Maybe. I want to eliminate our mindset on that. If there was ever a time, first off, that you ever said, well, gee, I can't be in church this week because we have COVID. If of all the horrible things that COVID's done, let me tell you what COVID did do. It dropped all excuses to not participate somehow in the teaching of God's Word. Last year, on a Sunday that I was not here, I was on a boat, and I was literally, my wife and I, with our phone, this was like about June, I think, of a year ago, I was worshiping with the family of faith, with my wife sitting on the front of a boat, and I was listening to the, I was actually, remember your message that you participated in that, Barta? I just remember parts of that, and the worship team, and then the teaching of that, sitting on the deck of a boat. And I thought to myself, well, granted, I'm not with the church family. I get that. And it's not like my excuse to sit home and eat peanuts all the time. But if there was ever a reason, ever a time in the world that we'd say, you don't have to fall behind, no matter what's going on. Everything we do is now not only live online, but literally in a couple, 3 or 4 hours from now, it goes repeated back all over again online. You never have to miss any of that part of the teaching. Now, I still encourage people to gather together. I do. But I would also say, I don't know what COVID's going to bring. Everybody wants all the COVID regulations and why do we act and react and do we do this and that and the other. And it drives me a little, as you probably know, it drives me totally insane. But I've also come to recognize that you know, even if many of us are saying, I'm just not ready or I'm not prepared or I'm sick, stay home if you're sick. That's for absolute sure. But even those who meet in a group, sometimes you may want to meet with another family and say, I'm uncomfortable with a larger crowd, but I'll meet with a few. But even if you meet at home alone, there are online groups that totally follow up. At the end of this, you can sit in your, you know, in your kitchen on a deck of a boat and still participate with God's people, learning what? How to be the body of Christ. What I'm really trying to say is, there is no excuse. That's our year. That's what we do. We obviously have youth group, and we're going to hear more about that in the coming days. But during this time, we're going to learn from God's Word, and we're going to build it on that biblical truth. When I was a youth director, my first role, I'm not far from being finished here. My first role as a youth director, I was like 19 years old. I was stupid and didn't really know much of anything. That's typically what youth directors are, all right? I've been in a search for one, and we're not looking for one of those. But I remember I created a notebook. Thought about this week. Create a little notebook, and back in the days, long before internet and anything that was digital at all, and we took notes. Maybe that's why I'm such a note taker anyway. But I remember the year, my wife might remember this, but we had little orange notebooks for our church, Calvary Baptist Church, Waco, Texas. And as I was taking these teenagers through the year, I don't remember all the details of what I was studying, but we created a notebook, and we put on the front of the notebook, battle plans. And the reason I did that is because I remember thinking to myself, I have the opportunity to take Kyle and Brian and Gina and a whole lot of other teenagers, Charles, all these people I still know, and taking through an understanding of something, of how to prepare their life for the battle ahead. I was half tempted to do the same thing this year for this church. But no matter what you call your notebook, what I'm really saying to you is, essentially that's what you're going to be doing. We're going to be learning how to take on the battle of life And it's not just the battle that you face, although that's important, and the struggles that you have in your own life, and I need God's help to get through this. It's actually even bigger than that, because when you come to faith in Christ, you have found eternity with Him. And when you find eternity with Him, the battle has really truly been won in your life in that way, and now you are being thrown into, or called into, not thrown into, called into a world that is going to nonstop throw at you all the reasons why this is not important. The battle plans are life and death. They're heaven and hell. They're the battle for the souls of women and men, young and old, rich and poor, and everything in between in this world. That's what we do. At the end result, I'm saving all of my notes at the bottom of your page for these last few. You ready? What's the end result? The end result of all of this is that we want to be a church that functions and acts like the body of Christ in this world. We're not volunteers. We're Christ carrying out His work in this world. I'm sort of laying a foundation for this year. Ready? Number two, a church that makes, we're learning to be a church that makes eternal footprints and an impact on places in the world that God has moved us into, be they literally across the street or on the other side of the planet. Number three, we want to learn to be a church that is able to face the challenges. In other words, sort all this stuff out to face the challenges with maturity. Boy, that's hard. I have watched in my years, I'm telling you, I have watched so many people fall by the wayside, because when the battle of this world, which will never get easier, keeps coming at us, we just don't have our feet on solid rock. Number four, we want to be a church that has committed their lives to the mission of God, that we really find in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a verse that is highly powerful. We have, and the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're committed collectively and individually. Number five, we want to be a church that lives out real worship. Real worship. And that's not music. That's life. Romans 12 puts it this way when he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, but this is your holy and pleasing true worship to the Almighty God. And then I would say we have to be a church that is standing solid, firmly planting our feet and facing all that hell has to throw at us, which is why I love that verse, Ephesians 4, which I'll deal with a lot this year. And last, we want to be a church that is truly the body of Christ in a very distorted world. And happy Labor Day weekend to you too. I do pray that you have caught a glimpse of where we're going. Again, you may say, are we going to seminary or something? And my answer back is, yeah, actually, yeah. We really kind of are. We're going to learn this together, we're going to implement it together, and we're going to keep implementing it until the day we take our last breath. And we will be the Church of Jesus Christ. And if we're not, then may God take this place away from us.